Blog Talk Radio.
Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath and good morning to you all. We pray that everybody has had a blessed evening and that you have spent the required time with the Most High. We are still in this marriage contract or covenant on this morning. This is part two, and we want to finish this up on today, this morning. Give me a hot second here. Let me go ahead and just sound a shofar. I need to respond to something here real quick, something I was trying to take care of. So Shabbat Shalom, and let us summon the Most High, as he has said. When we blow the shofar, he will come and he will be with us. Like to take this time to agree everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, whether you be on the in the American continent, the South American continent, the continent of Africa, the European theater, the Far East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. We would like to send out our sincere condolences to the Harris family up in Wisconsin on the loss of their brother, Ricky. And we pray that the Most High sends peace to the family in their time of bereavement. On today, they will be holding services at 2 p.m. today. And we pray that the Most High gives joy to the family, gives them peace of mind and heart during their time of loss. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us do our statement of faith. And let me get my throat cleared up here. I don't know what's going on. Let's do our statement of faith on this morning as we go before the Most High on this His day. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, or Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning, for truly he is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that we have for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for keeping us safe, Father. We thank you for giving us a sound mind. We thank you, Father, for giving us a heart to just be focused on you and to observe your day, a day that you have ordained that we should keep perpetually throughout all time, Father. We just glorify you on this morning. We thank you for your manifold blessings. We thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. You are the potentate. Hallelujah. And there is none like you, Father. And we glorify you on this day, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah, our Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And we're only going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13 on this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13. Chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. For this morning, I want to play two selections. Put our mind on the mind of the Most High. Put ourselves in his presence.
Could it be that you are angry with me? I still praise you according to your righteousness. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah, you are my shield, my glory. It's a rub my head, Yah, you sustain me. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah, you are my shield, my glory. It's a rub my head, Yah, you sustain me.
You are my refuge in my times of trouble. You are the King, there's no other besides you. You are my Redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to be.
Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, oh, oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Temple, you are the voice, we are your song. are your people. You are the light we stand in awe.
Amen. Without the Spirit of the Most High, it is impossible for us to please Him. We can do nothing without Him. Love that record. Love it. Send your Spirit, Yah. Send it. We need your Spirit. Hallelujah. Breathe on us. As we continue on this morning with contract marriage versus covenant marriage, as we discussed on last night, a contract is an agreement made between two parties. In this case, we're talking about marriage, a man and a woman. And that contract can state the requirements of what those two individuals decide and agree upon will be part of that marriage. But the covenant also includes a third party, and that third party is the Most High. And what He says is required in the institution that He has established as marriage. So when a man and a woman come together and they're going to be married before the Most High, then they have to agree to His conditions as well. You can't just make up a contract and say, okay, well, we're going to get married. We're going to get married in the eyes of the Most High, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Elohim, but we're going to do what we want to do. So these are our marriage vows, and these are the agreements that we're coming to when the Most High has already established some things that are required. One of the things that we have to understand is that marriage is not really that simple as far as just an agreement between the man and the woman. It can be, you know, if we're going to be worldly, if we're going to stay in the world. But anytime we tie ourselves to the Most High Elohim, then we must meet His conditions. As an example, you know, I work for a company and I have a contract with that company. I provide them a service and they provide me with money. We come to an agreement and both sides of that agreement are intended to keep their end of the bargain. Contracts involve services rendered and services received. What services are being rendered between a husband and a wife? These are a matter of duties and we don't look at them as providing a service. So a contract in its basic form, in its legal definition, cannot really apply to a marriage, especially one that is ordained by the Most High. Because you're not, a husband and a wife don't provide, per se, a service to each other. This is a matter of duty. An agreement that they come into, also with the Most High, that this is what we're going to live by, the standards. A marriage cannot be conducted in secrecy. You know, you got some people out there that they come into a relationship and maybe they are sneaking around or whatever. They don't really want anybody to know that they are dating or seeing each other. And then they decide, well, hey, let's make this a little bit more permanent. And the man says, or the woman, or they both agree, you know, we're going to be husband and wife, but we don't really want anybody else to know. I don't see this typically where it's the man marrying one woman, but a lot of the times where the brother has multiple wives, we will see this. And I'm like, how are you going to be married to this woman and it's a secret? But a marriage can't be in secret. It can't be, you know, something that's like friends with benefits. A marriage cannot be conducted, as I said, in secrecy. Even an elopement consists only of a man, a woman, and a judge. There must be witnesses to the marriage. So, you know, you go before the justice of the peace, you got to have some witnesses. This is a public thing, and it has to be recognized by the public. If it's not recognized by the public, it's not a marriage. It's a secret contract between this man and a woman that, you know, we're going to cohabitate and we're going to sleep together. We might have things together, but it's not recognized by society. And so therefore, it would not be recognized by the Most High. Marriage does not rest within the criteria of a contract, but rather that of a covenant, as I've already stated. A fundamental difference between a contract and a covenant is that the contract is cut between the two human parties and is agreed upon as a matter of honor. And legal proceedings are in place to enforce such private agreements. Legal proceedings to enforce this contract. The covenant of marriage is different in that it is cut between three parties, namely the man, the woman, and the Most High. And this is how we distinguish it. And because the Most High has part in it, you know, when a man and a woman get married in church, when they get married by a minister, a preacher, a pastor, then they are bringing that relationship before the Most High and they're agreeing to his terms as a third party, really as the head of the relationship. Because we know that our relationship with the Most High is Christ is the head, then there's the man, and then there's the woman. The Most High is in the relationship. And so the requirements that he places on the relationship must be met. So this is the difference in that covenant. So what is the result of a marriage covenant? It's a complete union of two people. A complete union. Not, you know, a partial union. You know, not... we're going to get together and be friends with benefits. When a couple is married, they are not simply allies or friends with benefits. They are joined together as one. Most High said, the two shall be joined together and become one. That means in everything. This is not a relationship of convenience. Well, you know, I'll see you when I see you. I'll drop by. Maybe I'll see you once or twice a week when I got that itch I want to scratch or, you know, some other nonsense. And they are joined together as one. Society is obligated to recognize that they are one. That's what makes it a marriage. So if, you know, you got somebody coming to you saying, hey, you know, I got feelings for you and I really want to be with you, but I'm in this other relationship over here. And I, you know, I want multiple wives. And the woman agrees to it. Then this cannot be a secret thing. And Elohim forbid, as the brothers say, you know, well, my wife can't know about this. What do you mean? She can't know about it. It's supposed to be public. So how are you going to enter into another relationship and it's a secret relationship? It sounds like a mistress to me. Sounds like a secret hookup. This thing has to be public for it to be a marriage. It's a requirement of the scriptures. It's a requirement of the world today. In order for a marriage to be a complete union, those entering into the union must engage in complete spiritual, emotional, legal, and physical union in all things. That's why, you know, today the issue I have with a lot of brothers taking multiple women or even entering into marriage contracts is, number one, they don't even take the contract to court. The woman is entering into a relationship that she has no legal recourse in. The brother wants to give her a bill of divorcement. He just says, I'm putting you away, and off she goes. And then they want to use the scriptures, well, she's supposed to go out with nothing. Wait a minute. She sweated and contributed to this relationship just like he has. And so there is, you know, there's only this agreement between the two of them. It's almost like girlfriend and boyfriend. And, you know, they're sleeping together. And that's the end of the legal commitment, but she was supposed to be his wife. Well, you know, those things are unacceptable, and they really twist the word of the Most High, and they twist what his intent was for this institution. And so, you know, you got brothers out here who are, they're not dumb. You know, ever since the invention of the birth control pill, the number of marriages has steadily declined. And more people have, you know, not that it wasn't happening before, because, you know, the scriptures wouldn't even talk about it if it was not happening. But, you know, we come into a society where liberalism and, you know, the moral compass has changed so much that the Most High says that a man and a woman shouldn't come together till they're married, and society is saying, hey, if we are dating, if we don't hook up, something's wrong. A lot of brothers won't even date a sister if she is not sexually active, if she's not willing to take care of his quote-unquote physical needs. If they won't even go out on a date, if the date is saying that, if the woman is saying, hey, ain't nothing going to happen. Well, you know, sister, we can't go out. I'll find somebody that's going to put out. But then say that they're men of the Most High. And she's saying that she's a woman of the Most High. Now, if she is holding to her guns, and, you know, that's not me. And she's not caught up in today. Good for that sister. But the vast majority, that is not the case. That is not the case. And so it's like people don't want the commitment that the Most High requires of a marriage. And mainly, the biggest one they don't want is the financial commitment. You know, I throw a little bit of money out here or there, and, you know, sister, I take you to dinner, what you going to do for me? I come and I give you money to do your nails, your hair, what you going to do for me? But that's the extent of the relationship. You know, you might laugh and joke and, you know, play around or what have you. But there is no really commitment in the relationship, one to another, except for, you know, we're going to hook up when we hook up. And she's not supposed to be with anybody else. You know, most women don't really want to sleep around with a lot of men. So, you know, the brothers are saying, well, hey, you're my wife, you can't be with anybody else. But they're really not doing the things that they are required to do in the eyes of the Most High, because this has to be a total commitment, as I said, spiritually, emotionally, legal, physically. It has to be that complete union for it to be a marriage. Okay. I wanted to, as I said, the state of Arizona, and I have to look and see what, there's only two other states that actually recognize a covenant marriage. Most other states recognize a marriage contract, and it has nothing to do with the Most High, even though they might invoke, you know, some spiritual aspect of it. But it's really truly in the sense of a contract, an agreement between two people. So for the covenant relationship, because of the way the world is, you know, I was kind of surprised when I found this, but the world knows that there's a difference between the marriage that the Most High requires and the marriage that they themselves ordain and that they, you know, support. So this is called covenant marriage, declaration of intent. Because in the state of Arizona, if you want to change your conventional, quote-unquote, contract marriage into a covenant marriage, then you got to go through some things, and you got to agree upon some things. And first of all, you have to be counseled by, you know, an ordained minister or pastor. And hopefully that ordained minister or pastor is teaching the requirements per the scriptures. You know, that marriage, the Most High doesn't believe in divorce. It's not his desire. And there's really only one situation where he really allows in the scripture for a man and a woman to go their separate ways. And that's if they basically don't believe the same way spiritually. One is a believer, the other one is a non-believer. One believes in the Bible and the covenant of the Bible, and the other one sort of does not. And so they are at odds. And the scripture says, you know, if a brother or a sister desires to leave, the non-believer desires to leave, let them leave. A brother or a sister is not in bondage in that case. Meaning that you can walk out of that relationship because you're going to be, both of you are going to be unhappy. Both of you probably going to end up not serving the Most High. Just too far apart. But other than that, and fornication, there is no way out of the marriage. Most High said, and Messiah himself reaffirmed that it was not intended from the beginning to be so. So you have to consider and you have to be very careful with who you marry. But you can't, you know, scriptures are clear. You can't run around fornicating. You can't get into relationships where you're sleeping with someone and you're not married to them. Because the Most High doesn't bless that. He doesn't bless it. Okay, so, and he says that, you know, we end up going to the lake for it. So it's better to marry than to burn. That's for real. It's literal. Because that is the death, that is the punishment that is worse than death. Imagine this. And we've already gone through these in previous lessons, but imagine that you go before the Most High. He gives you eternal life. You can't die now. And then he judges you. So you're an eternal being now, and you can't die. And he says, all right, you've been found guilty. Go to the lake. And they throw you in the lake, and you're alive. And you can't die, but you can feel that fire. He says, no, shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, people think they get thrown in that lake and they just burn up and it's done, it's over with, but that's not what the scripture says. Messiah says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you go and you research this thing out, you find out that you are given eternal life. The lake of fire was created for Satan and his angels. They are spiritual beings. They are eternal. This fire was designed to torment them, to hurt them. The Most High says, now, if you follow after Satan and his imps, if you come up on the wrong side of salvation, then I'm going to give you eternity and throw you in the lake that was prepared for them. This lake is a special fire. It's not like a normal fire. It's designed to hurt spiritual beings. So when we look in Revelations and the Most High gives us eternity, then he says, whosoever was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. They are put on eternity. And so this is what the scriptures are talking about in Hebrews chapter 10. How much worse the punishment do you suppose that you deserve if you turn around after you know the truth and then sin after you come to the knowledge of the truth? So I don't know what the churches are teaching. You know, I come out of the church, and I was taught this stuff all my life. And the Most High says, no, I need to reteach you. Because these things that people are teaching, they are not my will, and it's not what I'm going to do. And it is already written. So, let's look at this example of the covenant marriage that is sanctioned by the state. And I'm using the state of Arizona because I could find, you know, that document. Because the state does recognize that traditional marriage, traditional what I mean by the marriage that is sanctioned by the state, and the covenant marriage are different. And it's harder, once you enter into a covenant marriage, even in the state of Arizona, it is harder to exit out of that relationship. So you have to sign some documents saying you understand that it is different. So let me read this to you. Covenant marriage declaration of intent. This is a statement that when a pastor is counseling somebody to enter into a covenant marriage, this is a document that, a statement that has to be in his statement that he gives to the court for this couple. Persons who have a legal capacity to marry pursuant to this title may enter into a covenant marriage by declaring their intent to do so on their application for a license obtained pursuant to Section 121, and by complying with the requirements of this chapter. The returned marriage license shall be recorded as provided by Section 25.123, with an indication that the marriage is a covenant marriage, and the declaration shall be filed by the clerk. A declaration of intent to enter into a covenant marriage shall contain all the following written statement, a covenant marriage. So this statement has to be part of their license. We solemnly declare that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman who agree to live together as husband and wife as long as they both live. So they're declaring right there from the very beginning that the marriage is for a lifetime. Okay? We have chosen each other carefully and have received premarital counseling on the nature, purpose, and responsibility of marriage. We understand that a covenant marriage is for life. If we experience marital difficulties, we commit ourselves to take all reasonable efforts to preserve our marriage, including marital counseling. With full knowledge of what this commitment means, we do declare that our marriage will be bound by Arizona law on covenant marriages, and we promise to love, honor, and care for one another as husband and wife for the rest of our lives. Now, this requirement is coming out of Scripture. There are some things that they make provisions for the man and the woman to be able to get out of this relationship, out of this marriage. Okay, now they're agreeing that it's for life and that they're going to do everything they can to make it work. But they also make some provisions for, you know, if according to the state, if things go south. Second thing that's required, an affidavit by the parties that they have received premarital counseling from a member of the clergy or from a marriage counselor. Premarital counseling shall include a discussion of the seriousness of covenant marriage. Now, if they're getting it from the scriptures, then they know, then they should be being taught that Messiah said there's only one reason other than, you know, at this point, they should both be of like faith. I would pray. You know, you don't have two people entering into a covenant relationship and they don't believe the same thing. You know, they are worshiping two different gods or their understanding of, you know, what the scriptures are saying are so wide apart that, you know, they bump heads on too many things. That would be a problem. They don't understand. They have a different understanding of the nature of the relationship between the man and the woman per the scriptures. Because see, a lot of what I find today is a lot of people want to interject their own understanding, their own personal requirements into the relationship and not conduct the relationship under the standards that the Most High has already set in place, under the power structure that he has already put into place. Christ the head, then the man, then the woman. And it's not to mean that she's lesser than. Doesn't mean that. But there is a set structure, and this is ordained by the Most High. And so a lot of women come into the relationships, and they want to be equal in the power, want to have the same say-so. Well, okay. But if we bump heads, then who has the final say? And so the scripture has said that the woman would submit to the man. And the Most High told the woman this from the very beginning. This is one of his requirements, that she shall submit to her husband and he shall rule over her. That means that when there is a conflict, he has the final say. The direction that the unit, the family unit is going, he has the final say. And so, you know, I counsel women all the time, and I would tell them in a heartbeat, if you're going to enter into a relationship and a marriage with this man, then you need to understand what is his plan for his life. Where is he going? What is his understanding of the scriptures? Do you two believe the same way? Are you able to submit to him? Because the scriptures require that you submit yourself to him and he shall have rulership over you. This is the Most High's requirement. And you better find out whether he's in submission to the Most High. Or if he's doing his own thing. All right. Let me continue in this document. An affidavit by the parties that they have received premarital counseling from a member of the clergy or from a marriage counselor. Premarital counseling shall include a discussion of the seriousness of the covenant marriage, communication of the fact that a covenant marriage is a commitment for life, a discussion of the obligation to seek marital counseling in times of marital difficulties, and a discussion of exclusive grounds for legally terminating a covenant marriage by dissolution of marriage or legal separation. So the state has, you know, made a provision that if certain things exist, if somebody is a drug abuser, if they are physically abusive, verbally abusive, if they leave for a certain amount of time, then you can dissolve this covenant marriage. Messiah said it was not so. So this is the difference. Now, the state, as I said, they're recognizing that a covenant marriage by the Bible is different than what the requirements are for a contract marriage, and that a covenant marriage by the Bible is for a lifetime. The Most High gave his stipulations for when you could end the marriage that he's a part of. And so the man and the woman have to take these things into consideration before they enter into it. And no matter what the state says, no matter what man says, yeah, you can meet the minimum requirements of man, but if the Most High's, if his requirements are more restrictive than what man allows, and you say that you are belonging to the Most High, then you have to use his standard, or else you are in breach of contract with the Most High. Because remember, in the covenant marriage, it's the man, the woman, and the Most High that are partners in this marriage. They should be praying together. They should be keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments together. They should be studying together. They should have, you know, whether it's right or wrong, they should have the same understanding of the scriptures, or else they're going to be in conflict. And so whatever requirements that the Most High puts on this relationship. Let's go to 1 Peter. And I don't have this in here, but I'm going to go here anyway. Let me look at it real quick, make sure I'm in the right place. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, the starting verse 1. We're going to look at some things that are required. And we're going to look at the man. We're going to look at the woman. But let's see what it says here. Likewise, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection. Subjection means that you place yourself under the authority of this man as your head. In subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. If you are a sanctified holy woman and you get involved with a man that is not in the word, that is not worshiping the Most High, because maybe, you know, you went out into, you were in the church and you wanted, didn't want to be alone and there wasn't enough men in the church. So you went out into the world and found you one. And you know, you're of the mind that you are going to convert him. You're going to convert him. Then you are still supposed to be in subjection to that man. You chose him. You went and married him. He's your husband. You say that you are a holy woman. Then you got to still abide by the laws of the scripture. Even if he don't. Even if he don't, because if he wasn't in the word, how are you going to expect him to abide by something that he wouldn't even, number one, he may not even have known, but number two, he definitely wasn't living by it. But you're going to change him. Probably not. You need to let your life be the example. You need to still stay holy. You need to still stay chaste. You need to be the example to him. So he says, that they may be one, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now you tell a woman she's supposed to fear her husband. It's not her husband really that she's fearing, but kind of, sort of, yes. Who's she fearing? The Most High. Fearing that she's going to be out of covenant with him. Because she went and found this man. He's not in the word. She's in the word. But also the Most High. Her agreement is also with the Most High. And this is who she should actually be fearing. But there's a certain amount of fear and reverence she's supposed to have for her husband also. Because there are some authorities in the scripture that the Most High gives the man as the head. As part of the covenant. Verse 3. Whose adorning let it not be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair. He's not saying don't do your hair, but don't make this what defines you. And the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. Don't make your beauty what you think defines you as the woman. The clothes you wear. How your hair is done. The jewelry that you have on. You know, these are all things that they make a woman presentable to a man and to herself. But don't let that be what your motivation is. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let your motivation be, how are you standing before the Most High? How does he see you? In that which is not corruptible. The laws of the Most High. The statutes, the commandments of the Most High are not corruptible. Because people don't keep it don't mean that the law is corrupt. It means that person is corrupt. Their ways, their morals are corrupt. They don't line up with the God that they say they serve. And so as a woman of the Most High, the Most High says all over the place, fear me. Fear what I'm going to do to those that don't line up with me. And even though we don't see it right away, since it's going to come a day, you're going to see it. Because you need to fear that. You need to fear if you are out of line with him. So even in your marriage, you need to have a fear that I'm not going to do this thing the way the Most High says to do it. That I'm going to be out of covenant with him. See, when you come into this relationship, the Most High never gave the man authority to beat a woman into submission. Like he gave him authority, dominion over the animals. He told the woman to submit herself. He didn't tell the man to take dominion over her. This commandment is to the woman. You shall submit yourself to your husband and he shall rule over you. Now you go get one that's not in the word, that don't have no understanding, and you're going to try to convert him, then whatever comes with that, you need to stay committed to the Most High first. First, the Most High. And then to that man. Okay. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, verse 4 again, in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Elohim of great price. Now, if you went and got him out the club, out of the gym, wherever you found him at, and he's not a godly man. He sort of has, you know, maybe you did a little bit of homework on him, and he sort of has some spiritual beliefs. But he's really not living according to the word of the Most High. The word of the Most High is not his standard. You can't change your standard to beat his. You got to still stay with the Most High. And so there may be some things that he wants you to do, some places he wants you to go. And a lot of times, you know, I've seen women get wrapped up in these relationships, and now they are out in the world, but they were out in the world anyway to begin with. But they're feeling that, you know, I'm getting drug away from the Most High. I'm getting drug away from some standards that I know that I should be complying with. And this, you know, some things that I'm doing are not part of this covenant because I'm trying to please this man. And so it's very important and very critical that when you go to choose a husband, that you make sure, because your first responsibility is to the Most High. Messiah says, if you love mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, husband, or wife more than you love him, you are not worthy of him. So for each person, Messiah has to come first. The Most High has to come first. And his standards have to come first. And you cannot compromise that in order for some companionship, some physical contact, even for the totality of a marriage. You got to keep the Most High where he belongs. And you got to behave yourself, and your conduct has to be such that it's pleasing in his sight. That's what your fear is, that you're going to be not pleasing to the Most High. Verse 5. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in Elohim, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now we're given Sarah as an example. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him, says Lord here. But that word can be translated as master. She recognized her position with him, and she submitted herself to him as the Most High commanded. Not as society says, because you know, if you see a woman who submits herself to her man, and she got some girlfriends, and her girlfriends are modern, let's put it that way, I'm going to use that term, modern, girl, why are you submitting yourself to that man like that? Yada, 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 yada. Talking on it. You shouldn't be doing all that for him. Why you call him that? I know you just didn't call him that. But the Most High says this is part of the covenant. And we have to recognize, because see, we have no fear of him. So the standards that he puts into place, we want to disregard them. And we want to implement, you know, what we're comfortable with. But when we are in submission to him, in true submission to the Most High, and say to the man, you're going to be in submission to the man, but first in submission to the Most High. This makes it easier to submit to the man, especially if he is godly, because you're on the same page, and he's not going to, you know, here's a problem that I've seen with a lot of men. They meet a woman who is submissive and who understands that she's to be in submission to her husband by the covenant. And they see her as weak, somebody they can walk over and just treat like anything, rather than valuing it, rather than holding it up as something of great value. It's a great price to the Most High. Why would it not be of a great price to this man if he got understanding? This is a good woman, godly, believes and fears the Most High. Why would he not value that? But they don't, because they have no understanding of the relationship. They don't themselves don't fear the Most High. So they don't understand this fear that this woman has. And they think that the submission is totally to them. And so they, you know, I can do with her what I want. I can treat her how I want. So rather than valuing it, they sort of despise it. But she still has to stay where the Most High has placed her. And she still has to stay and do and be as the Most High has commanded her, because she knows. So even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord or Master, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well. You are a daughter of Sarah, as long as you understand the mind frame of Sarah and her understanding of the covenant relationship that the Most High placed her up under Abraham as her head, and she was in full submission to him, and are not afraid with any amazement, not afraid. Because you know that really why you should not be afraid is you know your reward is coming from the Most High. He's going to look at your life and say, hey, you did exactly what I told you to do without fear. So it's very important that the woman be very selective of who she submits herself to, who she marries. She should know who he is and what he is. And she should not be sleeping with it. because it's a violation of the covenant. Most High says, if a man sleeps with a woman before he's married to her, and they both be found out, they be caught. If they're caught, and they're not married, and she's not married, y'all pray she's not married, and they're doing that, then he was supposed to go to her father and ask for her hand. Now, in the scriptures, you will find that, you know what? Typically, somebody died in that case. Whether it was the man because he defiled the woman, or was both of them because they were both in agreement. But the Most High says, hey, if they're not married, if she's not married, she's not betrothed. And betrothed is simply engaged. And when a woman and a man get engaged, the Most High considers them as married. They just haven't consummated the marriage yet, physically. Because by the covenant, he was supposed to either go prepare a place to take his bride or have a place. He wasn't supposed to be moving in with her. Let me come and move in with you. I don't have the means to support you, but I want you as my wife. Really? The Most High says you're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to have a means of supporting a family. You're supposed to have a means of providing. How are you going to be the head and you can't provide? You're going to be the head making the decisions, but you're not the support. Not in the place you're supposed to be. You can't put a roof over her head. You can't put clothes on her back. You can't put food in her mouth. These days you can't get her a ride. Yada, 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 the whole nine yards. You can't do that stuff, but you want to marry this woman. So you can't take care of her the way the scriptures say to take care of. Now you're going to bring a child into the world. Now, I understand, being a black man, that, you know, especially in our captivity, the world is not what we would want it to be. And it's very hard on us. We are the last in, first out, as far as jobs go. Last hired, first fired. For doing the same work, we're going to make anywhere from 10 to 30 or 40% less than other races. And so it's different for us. But that doesn't change. It doesn't change things. And if we are doing what the Most High says, he will still give us favor. When they mean it for our bad, when they mean it to, for our harm, when they mean it, you know, that, oh, we're not going to treat you fairly, the Most High will give you favor, and it will just end up you doing well. And they don't know why. But the truth of the matter is, he should be a man of the Most High, entering into this covenant with you. And she should be a woman of the Most High, entering into this covenant with you. If you're saying that you are being married before the Most High and you're getting married so that you won't burn, you have a certain level of knowledge of the scriptures and you say you believe in the Most High, then you have to do it the way that he says do it. And you have to meet the requirements of the covenant because he's part of the covenant. He's part of the marriage. And you can't go, we don't have the authority from the Most High. He says it himself. Don't add to or take away from. Just do what I tell you to do. This is what a lot of people don't realize. He doesn't give you the option to do what you want to do. He says, don't add to or take away from. Simply do what I tell you to do. And we'll be good. Problem is, a lot of the things that the Most High says, we don't agree with. We think it's better over here. I don't like that particular judgment. I think, you know, I can live with this. Doesn't matter what you can live with if you want to go into his kingdom. If you want to have lead a blessed life. if you want to be happy. Because, you know, you can have all the money in the world and realize that you are out of whack with the Most High and be miserable. And the closer that your day comes to going to sleep, that final time, the more miserable you'll become. So you want to do those things that take those doubts away from you. And if you are putting the Most High first, even when the state says, hey, we recognize that what we are doing is not in accordance with the word of the Most High. And here some of us say, well, hey, we'll give you a different provision for marriage that we recognize a covenant. But we still are men and we want a way out of this relationship, and we will set our laws contrary to what the laws of the Most High are. We give you a covenant marriage by the standards of the Most High. However, we're not going to create our laws to equal His. So a man and a woman entering even into this covenant type of relationship sanctioned by the state has to understand what the Most High requirements are. The state says, hey, these are our requirements. And we want you to understand that we, the state, believe that marriage is a lifetime thing too. However, we know us. We know how wicked we are. We know that some of us can get caught up into drugs, into alcoholism. Some of us can be abusers. Some of us be child molesters, rapists. We know how we are. And so, you know, and this thing is not just one-sided on the man, because women can go down these same roads. And so we want to have a way out. But if we truly, truly, truly believe and are living and are God-fearing, Elohim-fearing, then those things should not be a concern. It's when we come half-stepping, we come and we have not really committed to the Most High, and we bring these worldly things in. When I was in the world, I liked to do X, and I was exposed to doing X, whatever X is, and I learned to like it. I was watching a porno movie, and I saw them doing it. I didn't even know you could do that. Never even came across my mind. Now I want to try that. And then bring it into the relationship. And then expect the woman to do it. But you have women that do the same things. And there are more women today watching porn than there ever was. These are statistics. Used to be, hey, most people watching porn were men. That has changed. And you have women with these same spirits consumed with lust, consumed with pleasing their body, consumed with trying to get that magic O. And you know what that O is. And just like a drug, somebody being addicted to a drug, when they first start off, it don't take too much to get them high, to get them with that buzz, to give them that thrill. But the longer they do it, the more resistance they have to the drug, the more it takes. Or they got to go to a stronger drug. Sex addiction is the same way. So you start off with this little bitty thing over here. Oh, yeah, I saw that, and I want to try that. But then you got to start trying some other things, because, you know, the newness of that wore off. And so let me try this, and let's try that. And it becomes all about sexual or gratification, pleasure. And then we let it get in the way of our relationship with the Most High, because we start doing things we ought not do. and now we're in conflict with him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of the world? The knowledge of how man says a relationship could be, should be? The knowledge of how, you know, what the world says is acceptable in a relationship? The knowledge that the world is now at the point that it expects and requires that if a man and a woman are in a relationship, that it's going to be a sexual relationship if they are not married, even just a date? What knowledge? It's talking about the knowledge of the scripture, the knowledge of the Most High. What does he require? Throw all that stuff from the world out, because all that stuff will get you into the lake. It's the only place it's going to take you is to the lake. It's going to make you transgress the agreement that you're in with the Most High. That's what it's going to do. He needs to be knowledgeable according to the knowledge of the scripture of the Most High. What does he say concerning this? What does he say concerning that? What does he say is right? What does he say is wrong? Because he's supposed to be the head of the man. He's supposed to be who's guiding the man. And the woman should know. Brother, I'm sorry, but we need to go into the scripture on this. My husband, because I don't think that's the will of the Most High. But let us go search him out. Let us seek him out. Let us see what he says. And if you're single, then you should be studying to still what? To show yourself approved. But let the word of Yah teach you. Because a lot of times what I have found, even I have done this, but what I have found is that previous teachings, we will read right into the scripture what we were taught. We're reading the scripture, but we're reading what we were taught right into it, rather than letting the scripture tell us what it's saying. We will read what we were taught right into it. And so we maintain that understanding. And maybe because we're comfortable with it, maybe because, you know, that's really, you know, that's our true understanding of it. But what I have found is most of the time, and I'm not saying all the time, nothing is an absolute. But most of the time, people infer into the scripture what they have been taught. And so it becomes their understanding. And when they read the scripture and when they study, they also bring these understandings with them. But the Most High had, you know, when he started dealing with me, he says, I have to start over. I have to start over with you. Because I need you to teach my people. We are in the last days. We have to come back into right relationship with the Most High Elohim. And it is his way or the highway. It's not our way. It's his way or the highway. It's just that simple. So we are to deal with our wives, what? According to knowledge. Knowledge that we get from the Most High. Not what the world says is best. Not what the world says is acceptable. But what he says, giving honor unto the wife, giving honor unto her, especially if she's a godly woman, if she's in submission, as the scripture, as the Most High says, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, when we don't treat the woman the way the Most High wants us to treat the woman, and you take her for granted, when you don't appreciate or value her. In that she's a woman of the Most High. She's living all that she knows to do. And then we don't value it. It hinders our prayers because Most High says, you're one. How are you going to treat yourself that way? You are one flesh. What you're praying for, she should be praying for. And what she's praying for, you should be praying for. You should be in agreement. She shouldn't be praying for me to kill you because of how you're treating her. She shouldn't be praying for me to make a way out of this relationship. Because this one I got, Most High, he's crazy. He's abusive. He's unappreciative. And I'm going to stay submitted. And it's all in your hands. But please, please deliver me. If that's her prayer, and you're her husband, because you don't honor her, you don't value her, you don't understand that she understands that she's of great value in the eyes of the Most High. That's why he tells her to keep herself. Don't be giving yourself to just any and everybody. Because she's precious. As the man, you should understand that. That's if she's a godly woman. Now, if she's running around here sleeping with everybody, lying, cheating, doing all this other stuff, no, you got a different thing on your hands. Just like if the man is out there doing all these things, you got a different thing on your hands. And how did you hook up with her to begin with if she's doing all that? Then you must have been out there too. A lot of times the issue is, you know, let's say we both out there. We meet, we hook up. Let's say we get married. One of us comes to the Most High. Now we want to change, and the other one don't want to change. Or we both want to change, but then we find out that, oh, we did things that according to the Most High wasn't in his will. And we have this label on us now, according to the word of the Most High. Then rather than having godly sorrow and saying, you know what, no matter what, I know what's right now, that's what I'm going to do. And I pray that the Most High doesn't impute this sin against me. Father, I was wrong. I you know, if you didn't know, he says, I will forgive you because you didn't know. You did it in ignorance. And the Most High has always forgiven that. If whatever you did in ignorance, you didn't know, he didn't hold you accountable for it. He said, yeah, it's still sin. And if you died in your sin, you're still going to wherever I said you're going. But you came into I brought it to your attention. You came into the knowledge of the truth. You know what the truth is now. And you repent and turn away from it. Then I'm sure just to forgive you. Because you did it in ignorance. But if you know you were doing wrong, and you decide to do it anyway, that's a whole nother beast. And people say, oh, the Most High, you know, he says all I got to do is confess it, and it's all good. He says, no, it's not all good, because you knew. I've never forgiven that. Not in Torah, not in the New Testament. I've never forgiven that. So you have to have godly sorrow. I'm in transgression. I am contrary to you, Most High. I live my life contrary to you. I want to be right with you. And you don't have to accept me. I know you don't. But I choose to live my life for you from this time forward. And I pray like David prayed that you just don't impute my sin against me. Because the Most High says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. If I choose to have mercy on you, and you did the exact same thing this person over here did, but I looked at your heart and saw that you were truly repentant, and I had mercy on you. But this same person, this other person over here did the same thing you did, and I choose not to have mercy on them. It is my choice. I'm sovereign. Nobody's above me. If I say you are forgiven and this one is not, that is my choice. You see, a lot of people won't put the Most High in that place. It is his choice who he forgives and who he doesn't. But people think that, you know, forgiveness is an automatic thing, and it's not. It's not an automatic. And so we have to be fear of him. Husband has to serve him in fear. The wife has to serve him in fear that we are going to be found not pleasing. Anything else, we're subject to do whatever we want to do because we lack the fear of him. We lack the fear of what's going to happen. It ain't happened yet. I'll see that when I get there, but you don't want to see it when you get there. That's what he's telling you. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see what's coming. You don't want to experience it. So while you have a chance, while you have a chance, the day you hear my voice, the day when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Repent and turn from your wicked ways. Come and do it my way. Choose life. Because I'm setting before you two choices, life and death. Those are the only two choices you got. There is no in between. He says, choose life. Do what I say do. If you are a man and a woman entering into a covenant relationship, do it the way that I say do it. Serve me in the relationship, and you will serve each other. Make me the focus in the relationship, and you will serve each other. But if you enter into a contract between yourselves and I'm not in it, then you're going to do those things that are convenient to you. Well, if we become unhappy, we just walk away. We'll split things 50-50. Or we'll have a prenup. I had X amount when I came in. When I leave, I'm leaving with X amount. And it could be for, you know what, I just fell out of love with you. I don't love you no more. I don't like the way you squeeze the toothpaste. You can't cook. And compared to all the other women I've been with, you're not good in the bed. You don't know what you're doing. You won't do this. You won't do that. Oh, what you talking about? You ain't all that in the bed either. Compared to who would I've been with? All this craziness. Most I said it was never, ever supposed to be that way. And the only way that a woman ever was supposed to be able to compare her man to another man was that she was married and her first husband died. That's the only way she was with another man. It's the only way she could be able to compare. It's not so today. You don't know how many people a person has been with. You only know what they tell you. You don't know those things that they've done in secret that they don't want nobody to know. When I was in the military and I used to supervise young women, you know, as part of my command and stuff, and I'd be like, young lady, do you understand that you shouldn't just be sleeping with everybody and anybody? Well, that's what I want to do. Okay, that's you. But be proud that they were with literally 30, 40, 50, 60 men. and proud of it. And so I'm not telling you something that I heard. Even men, there are men out there with morals, not trying to sleep with every woman that comes along. And you got your skirt chasers. No matter what, they're trying to sleep. If it moves, they're trying to sleep with it. Don't even know why. Just part of their DNA, part of the way that they were raised. Never came out of it. Could be with a good woman. And this woman presents herself. And you know it ain't going nowhere, but it's physical. I can get one. Knowing that him and his woman don't have that type of relationship. Him and his wife don't have that type of relationship. She don't understand, she don't even have the understanding that he can have multiple wives. Knowing that this would tear her up if she found out about it. Still go ahead and do it. Because the opportunity presented itself. And again, we got women in the same boat. Got men approaching them. They are dressing in such a way that the dress, the standard, don't leave anything to the imagination. I can see every little nook and cranny. I don't even have to imagine how you look naked. It's right here in front of me. And have men approaching them and thinking that, you know, they're approaching them because they're a good woman. No, they're approaching you because what they see they like. And you're advertising. Whether you believe you're advertising or not. So let me see if I can hit this. She seemed like she might be down. And in some cases, it's true. Some cases, it just depends upon the man. No, I won't sleep with you, but him? Oh, yeah. He turns me on. So, yeah. So I'm not just sleeping with anybody. I'm choosy about who I sleep with. But the Most High says, if it's more than one, and if you've been with that one, even one time before you're married to him, you are labeled according to the scriptures, according to the Most High. Forget what man says, because man will say, a whorish woman is a woman that sleeps around with a bunch of men. That's not the Most High's definition. The Most High's definition, a whorish woman is a woman that sleeps with one man one time that she ain't married to. She has played the harlot. She has played the whore. One time. That's his standard. But we will say, oh no, that's not the definition. And I'm okay because I don't just sleep around with anybody. But I have slept around. And we're teaching our young women this from a very young age. TV is teaching it. The older women are teaching it. I was, you know, in the church, and I, you know, a lot of women in the church, a lot of single women in the church, not a lot of men in the church. And I heard, you know, some mothers, I call them mothers, they were older. I wouldn't marry a man unless I'd have slept with him. I said, mother. I said, how can you say that? Because I just want to make sure that we are compatible. I said, so you're telling me that you would fornicate before you got married You go against the word of the Most High and you will put yourself in this position. Daggone right. I said, you go ahead with your bad self then. But they're teaching that to the young women. Never mind, oh, he ain't good in bed. You still slept with him. It don't change that. So our mentality is more so we want to be lovers of pleasure more than we want to be lovers of the Most High. We want to please this flesh and make sure this flesh is pleased more than we want to please the Most High. But at the same time claiming that we're his people, same time claiming that we're saints, same time claiming we're going to heaven. When it's not the Most High standard. So when we enter into this covenant relationship, the man and the woman, and the Most High, he says, you're in a relationship with me, I'm the head of the relationship. Then comes the man. Then comes the woman. In these things that we're doing, one of the things that I've learned is that the truth of the matter is we simply do not fear the Most High. We don't. And so the fear that should be in the relationship, the fear that should be in the man, the fear that should be in the woman toward the Most High is not there. We could know his standards, and because we have no fear, we're going to make our own judgments. I know what you said, Most High, but I just can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to do this. I'm a compromise. And the Most High said, go on with your bad self. But don't think that I'm going to be mocked. You can think all you want. You can do whatever you want, but don't think that I'm going to be mocked. I've told you what's right and what's wrong. And if you do what you want to do rather than what I said to do, don't think you're mocking me, because I'm the one that's able, if you go to your grave, I'm the one that's able to wake you back up again and still punish you or reward you. So don't think my words are going to be mocked. Don't think that you've gotten away with anything. You have no fear of me, you're going to learn that you do not enter into relationships with me and not hold up your end of the relationship. Don't say that you belong to me and think that you can treat me any kind of way, that you can take my words and do what you want to do with them and contradict my words, turn my words into a lie, turn my truth into a lie. Don't think you're going to be able to do that. Because you don't fear me. This is the difference in the contract between a man and a woman and the covenant between the man, the woman, and the Most High. If you are comfortable being in a contract marriage and you and that man define what that relationship is all about, God bless you. You do you. But then when the Most High says that you are contrary, that you don't line up with what I've said, don't try to justify yourself. You are your own God. That's what people don't realize. When you supersede the word of the Most High, You have placed yourself over him and made yourself your own God, your own head. So it's not that an atheist doesn't believe in God. They just believe it's them. There are no higher power than them, themselves. They don't believe in a higher power than themselves. So I don't believe in a God. Oh, yes, you do. It's just you. It's the same way if we are disobedient. It's the same way if we disregard what our Elohim says and we do what we want to do. We supersede him. We go about to establish our own righteousness over his. This is what Israel did. Moses says, I give you my statutes, my laws, my commandments, and my judgments. And you went about to, being ignorant of my righteousness, went about to establish your own and disregarded my righteousness. So when a man and a woman who say they are saints, who say that they are the people of the Most High, who say that they are in relationship with him, got to understand that he is the boss. And what he says goes. And we don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to do what we want to do and stay in right relationship with him. He is very clear. And when we come into the New Testament, the New Covenant, he's only given us a chance to go back and do a do-over with better promises. But you still got to meet the requirements of the covenant. Still got to put him as the head. Still got to fear him. Still got to do what he says do. It's a do-over. So I modified some things. I knew that in the beginning when I first created man, I had to destroy man because he didn't even have my law. But his thoughts, his ways were continually evil. Go back and read that story again. The Most High destroyed the world because the thoughts of man were continually evil. It was not in his heart to do good. In a world where man was making up his own standards, his standard was to take advantage of the weak. His standard was to protect his own women, but take and rape the women of other tribes, cultures. His way was to take advantage and let me cheat you. You don't belong to us. Let me cheat you. If we do business, let me do everything I can to try to take what's yours. His standard was whatever pleases this flesh. I don't care if it's another animal. We're going to do that. In the worship of Baal, the priest and the priestess, part of their worship was sex. That's part of their worship of their God. Let me please this flesh. And the Most High says, that's not me. That's not who you're worshiping. That's not who you're serving. It's not the way I created this world. It's not the purpose I created this world for. And your thoughts are just continually evil. Go back and read it. Even There was a different relationship with the man and the animals. And up until the flood, the animals are not like they are today. The animals didn't have a fear of man. And they could communicate with the animals. But they also caused the animals to corrupt themselves. That's why he said, the end of all flesh has come before me. Do you think that he had it written that a woman shouldn't lay down with an animal like she lays down with a man just to put it in there? No, it's because it had happened and was happening. Men and women. So there's nothing new up under the sun. We look at today's world and say, oh, we have just gotten progressively worse. No. These things have always been here to one degree or another. But at least they could say they didn't know. The Most High said, I hadn't given them my laws. But their thoughts, the way that they acted, the things, the way that they were was just evil. So I destroyed it. Started over. I found a perfect man and I destroyed it. They had no fear of me. They knew of me, but still didn't have a fear of me. Their thoughts were just continually evil. So he gave us a do-over. The world a do-over. He says, now man, from your original nature, that sin nature, I'm giving you a way out of it. I selected a people, not because they were many, but because they were few, to be my priesthood, to teach the world my ways, and they corrupted themselves. Through unbelief. So, as of this contract, and we'll close up here. The marriage covenant is what you want to enter into if you say you belong to the Most High. And if you say you belong to the Most High, then you have to, when you enter into that covenant, you have to play by his rules. You have to agree to his standards. You don't get to make up your own. He instituted it. He says, this is what I consider to be a marriage. These are, and I'd even go into all of them. Maybe on the next session, the next time I will start getting into the duties of the man. The husband is part of the covenant. Sort of hit them lightly, but the great responsibility is on the man. It's on the man. And if that man is not godly, if he has no knowledge of the Most High, if he's rebellious, if he's succumbing to his flesh and, you know, seeking pleasure, whether it's through alcohol or sex or through drugs, you know, that's what most, all these things are about. They are rooted in that spirit of pleasure. We do those things because they give us pleasure. Whether it's getting high, drunk, intercourse, some people get pleasure from beating other people. Some people get pleasure from being beat. We're just all over the place. But it's rooted in pleasure. That's why people do those things. It gives them some type of pleasure. So, yeah, I do it. We enter into the relationship with the Most High. We have to go by his rules. We have to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. They were not done away with. They were not canceled out. He's going to be the ruler of the world. And the world will live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. See, that's what that statue at Babylon is all about. The statue of Babylon and then the Medo-Persians and the Greeks and the Romans representing the systems of governments. men trying to rule themselves by their own means. Babylon, confusion. You think you can rule yourself better than I can? This is what he's going to topple. The world governments, man ruling himself. And in the end, the government of the Most High will be the only government in the world. The only laws and commandments and statutes in the world will be the Most High's. Not man's. So we don't get to get away from his statutes, his commandments, his laws, because this is what's going to be in place in the end. And this is who he's looking for. The individuals that will obey him, who will live a life according to as he has dictated it. Not who want to make it up on their own or feel that they know better. They know wiser than he. Then they are more righteous than he. It's not what's going to end up being. So let's bow our heads. Father Yahweh, we thank you for your word on today. Father, it is you. It is you that we seek after. We seek to be in compliance with your word. We seek to be in compliance with your standards. Father, it is you that has instituted marriage. And you said that if we enter into a marriage according to you, if we enter into a marriage and provoke you in it, then we must abide by your terms. We don't have the right to change it. We don't have the right to customize it. We have to obey your word. We have to be in agreement with you. Father, help us. Help us to comply with your standards. Help us to come out of these strange relationships. Help us to line up with your word, to line up with you, that we may enter in to your kingdom in your good grace. That you say not to us, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You provoke my name, but you never knew me. Father, we want to know you. We want you to know us. If there be any of us in sin, even right now, Father, let them go before you and confess it. Ask your forgiveness. And we pray even right now, according to as they come to you, that you would forgive them according to their heart. You are a merciful and a kind and a gracious Elohim. And I know that according to a man's heart, so shall you judge him. Father, for each and every person that has godly sorrow, that they have transgressed your law and they have offended you, that they would understand and repent and turn away from their wicked ways and seek your face. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, this evening's lesson, I may have to cancel. I will see. I will see if I can get somebody to, even though it's right after, it's after Shabbat, but it's during our service time. I need to have somebody to go pick up someone from the airport. See if I can get somebody to do that for me. For Sister Harris, we wish you and your family well. We wish peace be among you and your relatives, and may they use this opportunity to know and understand that none of us lives forever. And once we go into the grave, it is too late to repent. So if they are not living a life according to the Most High, that every time we see deaths, we should understand that that person doesn't have any more chances to get it right. And we pray that they got it right before they went into the grave. So let this be that opportunity for you and your family. We wish the peace of the Most High be with you and all of them on this day. I will send out a text or a email. If I'm going to cancel this evening, I will try to do it within the next couple of hours. And if we cancel this evening, then we will meet tomorrow morning for spiritual wellness at the regular time, 10 a.m. So that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I can't get any of us into the kingdom. I can only save myself. And each and every one of us has to save ourselves. Save yourself. Shalom, family.
Never.